Before we get started, we will go to the Lord in word of prayer. And as always, if you're watching this on Facebook Live tonight, thank you, first of all, for being with us. Go ahead and share the post tonight, and that way it'll go out to your friends and your family. And maybe you never know who this might end up coming across their news feed on their Facebook page. And there might be something in here, not because of me, but because of God's word and the power of God's word that would help them. And so if you will go ahead and share that. And we do thank you for being with us tonight on Facebook Live. I will say this, though, you just really missed a treat if you're watching Facebook Live, because I've done a little dancing for the church while we were waiting for a Facebook Live tonight, and I'm pretty sure I was told to never do that again. So anyway, we're having a good time in God's house tonight. Before we go into our scripture tonight, we do want to pray. I ask you, if you have a prayer request and you're joining us on Facebook Live tonight, if you will, go ahead and leave us a comment there if you have something that you'd like for us to be in prayer about, or if you want to send a message there also to the page, the digital media team will get that and let me make me aware of that, and we will be praying about your request. And then just so you know, when we go off of Facebook Live on Wednesday nights, we take a few moments and share prayer requests here in the sanctuary, and a lot of different things going on in our church. So just because you may not hear your name on Facebook Live, it may be called after service tonight, and we are definitely praying for some special situations in our church family. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and then get into some scripture tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house tonight. God, I'm so thankful to be able to have your word and be able to open your word and let you speak to me through your word. God, I know that I'm nothing. God, I'm not worthy to stand here tonight, that there is nothing good about me except for your son, Jesus Christ, and his willingness to give his life for me that brought me into the family, that allowed me to be one of his children. And God, I want to thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells me. And because of that, I am something. I'm a child of the King tonight. God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here together, to find this time of refuge. And God, I pray, your Father, for all the prayer requests. I know there's some on our hearts and our minds. God, no doubt there's some even being left in the comment section there on our Facebook tonight. And God, I'm glad to know that you know those, even when they're not said out loud. God, or maybe even when they slip our minds, that God, you know each and every need. And we ask you to touch those in a special way. God, for all the situations in our church, we have sicknesses, we have families going through some tough times, we got all kinds of things that's happening in our church right now. God, I pray that you'll just touch in those situations. In this time when we're not able to be together like we would want to be, and be able to come to church in the full capacity and to have Sunday school, and sometimes our spiritual health gets a little sick. Sometimes our spiritual strength is a little weak. And God, I pray that you'll just help us through this time, help us to search for you. God, I pray that you'll help us, that we live a life that gives you glory and points someone to the cross. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. John chapter number 21, we'll be taking our reading. I've had a couple of different thoughts on my mind this week, and it seemed like this one just kept coming back. Sometimes I have thoughts that I have to go find scripture for, and sometimes I have scripture that I keep saying, God, what are you wanting me to see, or what are you wanting us to share? And being pastoring here for a little over 4 years and then preaching for some time before that, sometimes I feel like I've preached everything in the Bible, and I know I haven't, but sometimes I feel like, where am I going to find my next scripture at? Where is the next message going to come from? But I'm glad that this is the true living word of God, and I can take the same set of scripture and read it over and over and get something different from it almost every time that I read it. And I'm thankful that we have this living word tonight. But let's go ahead and get started in verse number 1 as we get into our scripture tonight. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Now, Jesus has already been crucified at this time. So here's what happens when Jesus is going to show himself. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus shows himself sometimes, aren't you? I mean, I know that I'm not saved by emotions. I'm not saved by having some kind of experience with God. But I'm glad that sometimes God even shows himself in a way that I have an emotional spirit experience with God. And I can feel God with me in my spirit, emotionally, in everything all at one time. So let's see what happens here as he shows himself to the disciples. In verse number 2, he says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, there's been many times that I've heard people preach on this scripture and try to interpret or try to guess why Peter went fishing here, and none of us really know, but I do want you to notice this, that Peter was sort of a leader in this case, in this circumstance. When Peter said, "I'm going fishing," the other disciples said, "We're going with you." Be careful, because some of the decisions that we make in our lives, we know that the Bible says that no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself, but also know that some of you, there are people around you that are looking up to you. There's people that work with you. There's people that you go to church with. There's just families that maybe know you from the community, and they're watching your life. And I know that we're living in a time right now when some of us really don't know what kind of decisions to make. We were talking about business just the other day at work, and what was I going to change my forecast, and did I think this was going to happen? Listen, I have no earthly idea what's going to happen. It's impossible for me to even guess what's going to happen with our economy and different things right now, but it's not for me to lay out those plans. But what I'm saying is this, as we go forward, maybe we don't know what decisions to make, always pray and ask God about the decision that you're fixing to make, because your decision is not going to affect just you. There's someone looking up to you. There's someone following in your footsteps. There's someone wanting to see what decision that you make. And sometimes it's hard to remember that. We have trouble. I have trouble. I'll leave you out of this. I have trouble sometimes. I want it my way, and I want it right now. And sometimes I want to choose my way, and my way will lead other people astray. I got to continue reading. We hadn't even got to where I wanted to get to. Simon Peter saith unto him, "I go a-fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Professional fishermen can't catch a fish. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So here Jesus is on the shore. Disciples have no clue that it's him, and here they come sailing by on their boat. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. So these professional fishermen that I'm sure have done everything that they knew to do, all night long they've tried all of the tricks of the trade. They'd went to all of those favorite fishing holes that they had. They'd throwed out whatever nets that they had. They'd done everything that they knew to do and couldn't catch a fish. But here, under the direction of Jesus Christ, when they listened to what Jesus had to say for them, they threw their net overside, and all of a sudden, they've got more fish than they can ever pull in. They've got more fish than they can even get inside the boat. I want us to know tonight that sometimes, even though we may have exhausted every effort that we have, we may have tried everything that we know to try, listen for God to speak, and if God speaks, go with it. I'm glad that the disciples didn't say, "Oh no, we have fished all night long. There's no use in doing that," because that's what I do. I argue with God. When God tells me what to do, and sometimes I know specifically what God's told me to do, and I say, "Oh no, God, I've tried that. Oh no, that's not going to work." I need to quit arguing with God and just do exactly as he has instructed me. The disciples did, and all of a sudden, they've got a multitude of fish. Verse number 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship." Now again, you can hear many different ideas of why Peter grabbed his fisherman's coat and jumped in the ocean. I think he was excited to see Jesus. I think he wanted to be the first. He wanted to swim to Jesus. Verse number 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging their net with fishes." Still can't get that net in the boat. "And soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, 'Bring of the fish which ye have now caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. That's just like a fisherman to count his fish as he goes to shore. 153, and for there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, 'Come and dine.' And none of the disciples dost ask him, 'Who art thou?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." Aren't you glad that Jesus will do whatever it takes? Look, this is the third time that he reveals himself to the disciples. Now we're going to get into the scripture tonight that I really want us to discuss for a few minutes. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter," Simon, notice something. When Jesus began to speak to Simon Peter right here, notice what he called him. Because you can go back just a little bit and you could find where Jesus called Peter out one day and he gave him another name. He said, "Thou art Peter." And if you go back and look, the word there is Petros, and I know we talked about that a couple of Sundays ago, a little rock. He called him a little rock. And as he look right here, look, he no longer calls him that rock. Because, we'll get into it in just a second. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I believe this discussion is happening right in the presence of the other disciples that are there. The Bible tells us who is present here. And then all of a sudden, Jesus asks him, says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these guys over here?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." We're going to stop reading right there tonight. And as we get to this place where Jesus and Peter are having this conversation, again, as we've noticed, Jesus called him Simon. He didn't call him Peter here. And we know that as you go back a couple of chapters and you can read in the Bible, we know that there was a day that Jesus told his disciples that men were going to deny him. Jesus told his disciples, said, "You need to know that there's coming a time when things are not going to be like they are right now, and men are going to deny me." And if you remember at that time, Peter spoke up, and Peter said, "Lord, though everybody else will turn their back on you," I'm giving you my version of this, "though everybody else will turn their back on you, though everybody else will deny you, though everybody else will walk away from you, I'll go with you all the way to death." And I believe that Peter said that with some real feeling. I believe that Peter said that wholeheartedly. I believe that he meant it as much as he could possibly mean it when he looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, though everybody else go away from you, I will not go away from you." And you know what? I believe that sometimes that we get kind of swelled up with inside ourselves. The Bible calls it pride. But we need to be really careful, because this same Peter that said, "Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way to death, that even though everybody else turns their back on you," and Peter speaks up and he says, "No matter what, I'm going to go with you all the way. I'll never deny you." And then we find out just a few days later, or the Bible says that Jesus looks at him and says, "Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." And we know that how that when Jesus was arrested and people kept coming to Peter and saying, "Peter, you were with him. Peter, you're one of them." And three different times Peter said, No, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not with him." This man that was with him just hours before and said, "No matter what, I'll not deny you. Though everybody else will, I will never deny you." And then we find that Peter denies him. See, as we look at this tonight, I want you to notice that three different times that Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter, do you love me? Why did Jesus ask him three times? Maybe it is symbolic of the three times that Peter denied him. Maybe it is symbolic or a reminder to Peter that, "Peter, just days ago that you denied me three times." And then as we see this, and as Jesus asks him this question and says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He even put that in there. Hey, do you love me more than these guys do? Do you love me more than these? And Peter once again says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." See, as Jesus asks Peter this question and says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, I wonder if Peter was one bit hesitant this time. I wonder if Peter had been humbled just a little bit, because he could remember saying, "Look, I'll go with you all the way," and then he knows that he denied Jesus Christ. And then as Jesus is asking him, I wonder if he felt just a little bit of "I better be careful with my answer," but yet he still says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." See, now he's not going on what he wants to say. He's going on, "Jesus, you know." See, he didn't get swelled up with inside himself this time. He says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. You know me, God. Jesus, you know me. You know how much I love you." He didn't say, "Yea, Lord, I love you more than all of these over here and all of these over there." See, we need to be really careful, Because sometimes things get to going really good in our lives, and we're walking with God, and we feel like that we know what God wants for our life, and we're reading our Bible, and we're praying, and man, we feel like we got that. You ever felt like you had that open portal? I know we have that open portal, but sometimes it feels like there's a lid on it in my life. I don't know about for you, but sometimes it feels like there's a lid on it. But everything is going good in our spiritual life. We feel spiritually healthy, and we might would be even in the same place that Peter was to say, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll never deny you, no matter what. Or we might could have been in the place that Peter may have been here, if not for the previous mistake. And then saying, Lord, you know I love you more than all of these people over here. We need to be really careful that we always stay humble, that we always stay to the place that, you know what, I am one bad decision from really messing up my Christian life. See, we want to point our fingers at others sometimes. We might would have even pointed a finger at Peter. If Peter wasn't who he was, being a Bible character, and the only thing we had is the one passage where Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny you. And then we have the other passage that shows that he denied Jesus three times. We probably would have cast him out and said, I can't believe him. I would never do that. But you know, we're all one decision away from making a real big mess out of our testimony or out of our Christian life. And I think Peter may have even understood that and learned that as he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. I wonder if as Peter looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, you know that I love you. You know everything and you know that I love you. I wonder what reply he was expecting from Jesus. I wonder if he was expecting for Jesus to look at him and say, well, if you love me so much, why did you deny me? If you love me so much, why did you declare that you would go with me all the way, that you would never deny me, no matter if the whole world turned their back on me, that you would never do that? Peter, why did you do that? Because you know what? That probably would have been my response to Peter. That probably would have been, look, I'm going to tell y'all something. Ain't it amazing how we hold people to different standards than we hold ourselves? We hold other people to a different standard than we even hold ourselves. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to let you know how dumb your preacher is tonight. So the other night, Autumn and I, we're talking about going camping, and I brought home some sticks from work. They're about this long. They come around some of our pallets, and I'm going to saw them up and use them for some firewood. And I go out there, and I got them laid across the tailgate of my truck. Fire that chainsaw up, boy. I love to hear that chainsaw run. There's something about a chainsaw. And I told Autumn, I said, I need some help. And she said, well, I'm going to go start supper. And I said, well, send one of the girls. She said, well, Addie's cooking some ramen noodles and Maggie's in the shower. Yeah, Addie loves ramen noodles. I said, well, I need some help. Well, when somebody didn't just come sprinting out there like Daddy thought they should, I'll do it myself, you know. So I started figuring out a way to cut these boards myself. And I was doing really good. I had them cut. And then all of a sudden, I looked down and there's little black shavings on the ground. I'm like, what in the, where did that come from? Well, I had chainsawed the top of my tailgate on my truck. I mean, that's just all there was to it. There was a hole in the top of my tailgate. And I sat there and I looked at it and I said, you know what? That's just one of them things. But I got to talking with Silas a little later that night. And I was talking to him about an attitude that he had that I wanted him to quit having. And I looked at him and I said, Silas, let me put it to you like this. I said, today I chainsawed a hole in the top of my tailgate. Yes, I did. And I said, because I was proving to everybody that I could do it on my own. I didn't need anybody. I'll do this. And I said, but when I done it, I looked down and said, man, I made a mistake. And surprisingly, I didn't throw the chainsaw. I didn't throw a rock. I didn't even have a bad thought. I just said, well, that was stupid. That's exactly what I thought. I said, but Silas, what do you think I would have done if you had done that? What if you had chainsawed a hole in my tailgate? He said, Daddy, you would have went ballistic. I said, yeah, you're exactly right. I would have. I'd have been out there going, what in the world? Why weren't you paying attention? You shouldn't be trying to do that by yourself. Just hold on a minute. It's not that big of a... I would have probably talked to him for 30 or 45 minutes about chainsawing a hole in my tailgate. But since I did it, it was just a mistake and it's no big deal. See, that's the way that it is a whole lot of times in our spiritual life. We're ready to hold everybody else to a standard that's way up here. And then when we mess up, oh, that's just a mistake. It's okay. And see, Peter here, he's saying, Lord, you know I love you. He deserved for Jesus to look at him and say, Well, why did you fail me? Why did you deny me? Why did you go against me? He deserved that, but I want you to notice what Jesus said. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. If I had been Peter, I think I would rather Jesus looked at me and said, well, Peter, I know what you did. You're a failure. Now here, I want you to go do something extraordinary to make up for it. Is that not what we do with our own Christian life sometimes? When we fail God, when we mess up, we try to look for something some kind of extraordinary way to make up. We try to look for something just great that we can do, maybe to make up for a mistake, or maybe to show how close that we are to God. But I want you to notice, here's the whole point of the message tonight. In three different times, as Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you love me? Look what he said. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Yes, and the message there being we need to take the gospel to a lost and a dying world. No doubt that is such a strong message. We were given that before we were ever come into this world. That message is all throughout this word, and we know without a doubt that we're supposed to go out and give the word. But I want to show you something else that I got from that when I read it. Jesus is not looking for me to do something extraordinary. He's not looking for me to do something that everybody else just goes, oh, wow. See, you know what? When I first started preaching, I wanted to be a Billy Graham. I wanted to be a Dwight L. Moody. I wanted to be somebody that had a legacy of pastoring, a legacy of preaching. And that's okay. I think that's some good goals that you can set in your life. But I want you to notice what God asks us to do and what I'm getting from this scripture right here tonight. Be constant, be consistent, be obedient. And be faithful. I think God had rather me be constant, consistent, faithful, persistent, obedient, and faithful than to do this right here in my Christian life. How many people do you know that do this right here in their Christian life? Have you ever done that? Yes, way up on a mountain one day, way down in the valley tomorrow. So close to God today and messing up tomorrow. And we ride this spiritual roller coaster. Look what he told Peter. He didn't say, Peter, I need you to do something extraordinary. He didn't say, Peter, I need you to go out and I need you to do just some amazing miracle. He didn't say, Peter, I need you to go out here and just show everybody how big of a failure you was. And go out here and just let everybody know who Jesus is. He said, I want you to feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and feed my sheep. Be consistent. Be faithful. Be persistent. Be obedient. If we'll do that, I believe that we'll live a life that's pleasing to God. If we'll do that, I believe that we'll live a life that when it's all said and done, and one day when they walk by me in front of a casket, and I'm laying there, it would be wonderful to have a testimony as Billy Graham or Dwight L. Moody or some of these other evangelists that we know of throughout of our lifetime. It would be wonderful to do that. But if people can look at me and say, he was a man of God, he was consistent, he was constant, and he was faithful. I believe that that is a testimony unto God. That is a testimony unto my life, because so many times I've seen people who were so wishy-washy, and they're in and out, and they're in and out. They're up and down, they're up and down. I've been there. Listen, church, I've been wishy-washy. I've been in and out. I've been on fire for God today and cold tomorrow, sitting right in church. It ain't that you got to be out here and doing all of this stuff that the world's got to offer. You can let your spiritual life get in trouble sitting right in the sanctuary. I've been there. I know. Be consistent. Be constant. Be persistent. You know, we're living in a day and a time, just as we were talking about earlier, that none of us know what's going to happen. I've had people give me all kinds of advice, business advice, family advice, church advice. Lord have mercy, the church advice. I get plenty of church advice. I've had all kinds of advice. I've even had people tell me it's fixing to happen. Start storing the groceries. Anybody else heard that yet? Anybody? Y'all might be buying groceries. If you are, that's up to you. You need to store up the canned food because it's fixing to all go down. Listen, if it does all go down and it's all just bad stuff, it'll be okay. I can't eat but so much rice and mess like that. I'll die one way or the other. And when I do, I'm going to be in the presence of God. I don't want to see that no more than anybody else does. But even if that comes, you know where I want to be found? Faithful, constant, persistent, obedient. Not that it's some kind of extraordinary something that I'm doing from God, but just constant, faithful, persistent, obedient. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. Are you constant tonight? Are you faithful? Now, I'm not talking about just showing up at church. I'm talking about day in and day out. Are you faithful to God? Day in, day out, are you constant? Or are you on this spiritual roller coaster? And today I want to live for God, and tomorrow I'm going to do what I want to do. And hey, like I said, I've been there, but that's not somewhere where I want to be. And if you are there, don't stay there. Because just look at Peter. Denied Christ 3 times, just like Christ said he would. But notice, when Jesus come back to him, he says, Peter, do you love me? He didn't come back to him and just absolutely cast him out. He didn't come back to him and tell him what an awful person he was. He said, now, Peter, be constant, be consistent, be faithful. That's where we need to be found. In the middle of all this COVID-19 mess, listen, I've had other pastors tell me, well, there's some people that's never going to come back to church. They're going to get lazy. They're going to, listen, people who know Jesus Christ, and there may be some, I ain't going to deny that, but people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have that desire to be in God's house, when all this mess is over, they'll be found faithful, consistent, constant, persistent, obedient. And the ones that are not, listen, this is going to sound ugly, and I don't mean for it to be ugly, but you cannot make people love God. You can't drag them. You can't shame them. You can't do anything else. When it's all said and done, it's going to be who's going to be found constant, consistent, persistent, obedient, and faithful. That's what it's going to be about. Where are you going to be? Well, I about know where this group's going to be. I see you tonight. You're being constant, consistent. And some of y'all, too. Don't mean that toward anybody that's been watching on Facebook Live. But be constant, consistent, faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I want to take this in my life, and I want you to help me to always be constant, consistent. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we do let some things that are going on in this world shake us just a little bit. We let it get us to where we're guessing about, well, who's in control. We know, God, that you're in control. And God, I want to be faithful. I want to be constant. No matter what, no matter what the situation is, God, you bless me more than I ever deserved the day that you saved my soul. And I want to thank you for that and for all the blessings that you've given me between then and now. But God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll always help me to be found faithful for you. God, I pray, dear Father, as we are in the middle of this mess that we're in the middle of, God, you knew it was coming before we did. God, you know exactly all the steps that are being taken and what needs to be taken. But God, I do want to pray for Christian people that we will, that when this is all said and done, that we'll still be found constant and faithful, that we won't let the world be appetizing to us, that we won't let it drag us away from you and away from being faithful. God, I pray most of all for the lost. They have no hope right now. We know that the Bible says that they'll have no hope in this world. But God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help them to see that there's hope in Jesus Christ and that he gave his life for them. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.